You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
We're looking at this whole idea of the church that matters, and this morning the emphasis is on glorifying. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for the church I grew up in. In fact, you know, church has been, now this isn't everyone's life, but church has been my life. I happened to grow up in a pastor's home. I was talking to my mom this morning, and I said, "Mom, how old was I when I first went to church?" And she said, "Well," she said, "you were probably 5 days old." And that's kind of how it was in those days. You had a baby and you got up and went to church. So everything revolved around church. I lived at church. I laugh. Freddie, my grandson, he loves church. When you say church, class, I get to go to class. And I'm glad he loves it because it's going to be his life. But church was my life. From 5 days old, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival 2 or 3 times a year, youth rallies, youth services. Liz and I got engaged in a church, got married in a church, served in a church for some 35 years. You know, 40, 50 years, or when I hit about 120, I'll have my funeral service in a church. I think about videoing that and just preaching my own funeral. Liz doesn't like that idea for some reason. But everything revolves around church. I want you to know something. Everything God does revolves around church. He saved us to be a part of his family and in this community of believers. And I'll explain how important church is. Now I understand church doesn't save us. It's Jesus that saves us. But once he saves us, he puts us in a community of believers. And that is a place that we grow and that we minister and that we reach out. I'm thankful for the church. In fact, I don't like to hear people criticize the church. And there's a lot of folks outside that mock and make fun, but there are even those who have a religious controlling type spirit that tries to undermine or come against the church. Jesus didn't really like those folks either, if you want to know the truth. He confronted them head on, if you will. I've never understood why people would criticize their own church. I always thought that we were to make things better. And you don't make things better by you don't make the country better by criticizing the country. You sure don't make the church better by criticizing the church. I'm a fierce defender of the church. Jesus loved the church. Now, God so loved the world. He loves us. It all starts with Jesus in our heart and salvation. Amen? But listen to what he says. Matthew 16 and 18, he said he would build his church. He would build his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. You see, his church, and when I talk about church today, I'm not talking about the universal church or the church at large. I'm talking about local church. His church is an overcoming church. Amen? Should be. It should be, and I thank God for what he's doing right here. Christian Life, the Island Church, is a comeback church. We are a victorious church. We are a winning church. And I want to show you something. The Church of Jesus Christ is an aggressive church. Aggressive evangelistically, aggressive in reaching out. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says he's going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. You never hear someone say, hey, let's get the gates and charge. You defend the gates. Listen, hell is trying to hold people captive, but the kingdom of God is going in to rescue people literally from the gates of hell. Oh, come on, amen? Yeah. And so the church is a victorious church. There are those that say, well, you know, the church is not relevant. The church is going down. Well, I got news for you. The church is going up. Jesus is coming back, and the church will be resurrected. Hell is trying to hold people captive, but Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. Until the day Jesus comes, may we commit to live. May we resolve to live committed. May we resolve to live passionate. May we resolve to live with integrity. May we resolve to live victorious, his church victorious. And may we resolve or commit to living out God's purpose for our lives and for his church. Or maybe better said, God's purpose for our lives in his church. In this series, we're gonna focus on what is the purpose of the church, our lives in his church. What drives the church? Is it tradition? Is the church personality driven? Are we financially driven? Are we program driven? Are we building driven? Are we event driven? People have various ideas about what the church should be. Some people think that it's a soul winning station. Others believe that it's a soul building station. Some people believe that the church is about reaching them. Others believe that the church is about teaching them. Some people believe it's about evangelization. Some people believe it's about indoctrination, establishing doctrine. Some people believe that salvation is the final goal. And some people believe that it's the first step. Some people believe that church is about how to become a Christian. And others believe that church is about how to learn to behave like a Christian. Some people believe that the pastor and the pastoral staff and paid ministry staff, they are the true ministers of the church. And others believe that the church, the people, should be the ministers of the church. You see, the starting point for every church has to be this question. Why do we exist? And until we know why the church exists and why we are a part of the church, listen, there's no foundation, there's no motivation, there's no direction, there's no ministry. Here's why the church is great. The church is great because we are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and his word. Hello? Amen. The Bible tells us, jot this passage down, Ephesians 2 and 20, that Jesus, he is the chief cornerstone. We're built upon Jesus. Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we're built on Jesus and we're built on his word. Jot this down. Jeremiah 1:12 says, he watches over his word to perform it. So where there are people that lay down their religious spirit and their hunger for God is bigger than their pride and they pursue God, guess what? God's gonna build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. In fact, we'll invade and the church will be victorious. Amen. That's why we strive. Listen, if you like a lot of topical type messages, you're probably not going to enjoy this church. You probably ought to find another church. We preach a lot of expository, building upon the Word of God. Talk about the Word, talk about the Word. In fact, if you go to your sermon notes, you'll see how many scriptures. We base everything on the Word of God. I was playing golf recently, and I got paired with this guy. I've known him for a few years as far as being able to say hello to him and call him by name. And he sees me, he'll yell out, "Hey, Fred." But I've never really talked to him. And we got paired together. We were riding in the same cart. And so I started asking him, what did you do for a living? He was military, and he said, "What did you do for a living?" I said, "Well, I'm still doing it. I haven't retired yet." And I told him I was a pastor. He goes, "Really?" He said, "What denomination?" I said, "Well, our church is very much a non-denominational." I said, "We've got people from every background, walk at life." I said, "I'm actually ordained with the Assemblies of God." He goes, "I was a part of an Assemblies of God church for years." He said, in fact, "I was a pastor on staff." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." I said, what was your responsibility?" He said, "Well, I was just kind of over the ushers and greeters and the peripheral things." And he went on to tell me, he said, "Man, it was going so great. And then our pastor and the associate pastor got into some stuff, and it just became so political, and it was so sad how it just kind of fell apart." Do you know that is an actual conversation that's happened recently in my life. Do you know how many times that story is repeated and has happened over and over and over? Sometimes I come across a little bit strong, talk about unity, say, "Hey, you know, if someone causes discord, we're going to mark you." That's what the Bible says. Say, that comes across a little. No, here's what it is. And we don't have disunity. There's not an undermining. And I always say, people say, "Well, pastor, something wrong in the church?" No, it's just a great time to say things like that when everything's going good. But do you know why I say things sometimes? I'm a fierce defender of the church. I know how the enemy works. And churches start off with great vision, and then they have great growth. And then what happens is then there's a fight for control, and then there's the struggle, and then decline, and then you fall into a rut of just having a religious gathering. And with all of my heart, God's doing something special right here at the Island Church, amen? And all of us are called to protect the unity, because how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there God commands blessing. Why are some churches blessed? I believe it's a commanded blessing of God, because we've chose to lay down differences and to say we're going to exalt the Savior. We're going to focus on the Word of God. Are you still with me this morning? Amen. So we're built upon Jesus, and we're built upon His Word. Think of it this way. The church, obviously, is God's plan. But the church is God's embassy here on earth. An embassy is a place in a foreign land where ambassadors and people who work on behalf of the United States are in that embassy. It's a place where you go for protection. There's been a lot in recent years about embassies and some of the volatility that's happened. You got to remember, we are in a foreign land. We are just passing through. We are a part of the kingdom of God. And I see the church as an embassy. It's a place that's safe. It's where we gather to worship, be encouraged, build up. Yes, people are saved. People are discipled. It's not always this or that. It's both and. And we are called to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God in this world. One of the main reasons I feel like we have become a godless nation is we've devalued the church. It's no longer a priority. It's no longer valued as a moral influence in society. I prayed this earlier, but we've made church all about a better life, all about 5 principles, 7 principles, 10 ways to make more money, 5 ways to be more successful. And we've talked about a better life. But I want you to know when Jesus Christ comes in, he doesn't come just to help us to have a better American life, have a nicer home and a nicer car. God's not anti-blessing in those realms and ways. We live in a land where those things are available to us. But understand something. There are people that have everything and their lives are shambles. Jesus didn't come to give us a better life. He came to give us a changed life. And if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Churches struggle because we make it all about us. Let me tell you, this morning, the focus of this message is about the glory of God, and it's about giving God glory. Lord, let your glory fill this place. When Isaiah walked in to the temple, the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Nobody had to say it's time to praise the Lord. The glory of God was there. God, let your glory fill this place. May we catch a glimpse of the glory, the magnificent, the brilliance, the power and awe of Almighty God. When people encounter the glory of God, we may respond in different ways, some in fear and some in awe, some in wonder and some in worship, some in dread and some in respect, some in conviction and repentance and humility. We see that God is big and we are small, that God is good and we are not, that we exist for God and God doesn't exist for me, that our eternal God, Jesus, comes into human history as a human being. He lives a life that is completely, utterly, consistently glorifying God. He lives without sin and he teaches us how a life of glorifying God is to be lived. Oh, that we might catch a glimpse of his glory. I've wondered, what does God think of so many people that take his church, take their relationship with him, and take his church with such a take it or leave it attitude? In this emphasis, this church that matters. You know, we could say it even this way. It's not just the church that matters, but also church matters. Church matters. We're emphasizing this morning and re-emphasizing who we are as a church. The church that matters, glorifies God. Now, I understand the church is made up of people, so we see this not just simply corporately, but I want you to see it individually. The church that matter glorify God, which means the people of God. Your heart and focus, my heart and focus, is to glorify God. Ephesians 3 and verse 21 says this, to him, be glory in the church. That's to God. To him, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, down to us, forever and ever, amen. God's plan is for there to be glory in the church. You know, we refer to Christian Life Church, and we've really taken on this emphasis of Christian Life, the Island Church. I want you to know that wasn't an idea that came about because we thought, wouldn't it be cool to say that we're the Island Church? I think it's cool, but there was something so much more beyond that. It was a number of years ago, and we're in a staff planning time, and we begin to ask, what is the purpose of our church? And God took us to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 12, and it says this, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. In the NIV, New King James, it says, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. And the whole idea behind saying, who are we as a church? We're Christian Life, the Island Church, giving glory to God in the islands. That's why we're here, to give glory, to be reflectors of the glory, to give attention to the Lord. Because we know this, if we will, he said, I will build my church. So we're going to give focus on him. The core of who we are at Christian Life, the Island Church, is to give God glory. It's to welcome his glory. Now listen to me. That's two separate things. There's the glory of God that fills the temple, and there's giving God glory. And they are different. Glory, to give God glory, glory is to worship, it's to honor, it's to respect, it's to praise, it's to give credit. It's the idea of giving value and worth, worship, worship, weight to who he is. Glory also means this. When the presence of God, the glory of God, it means radiance, brilliance, brightness, the weightiness, the heaviness, the heavy presence of the Lord that fills that gathering place. Now understand something. When you study the Bible, we are never commanded to give God glory in that sense. That's what God does. God fills this room with his radiance, his brilliance, his presence that is weighty, that is heavy, for us to try to create that kind of glory. And there's churches that, you know, here's what happens, is we try so hard to do it ourselves. Here's what we do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Amen. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to try to make his presence to be seen. Our responsibility is to welcome his presence. When you start trying to give God radiance and brilliance and brightness, it's like taking a book of matches and trying to add to the brilliance of the sun. You can't do it. But we want his presence. God, let your manifest presence fall, the glory of God fall in this place. Because wherever God is, there is glory. Whatever God does is his presence, is his magnificence, is the weight of God. It is glorious. The glory of God, it can be seen in a lot of different places. Sure, we see the glory of God in this beautiful place we live. You see the glory of God in creation. You can't help but see the glory of God when you look across those beautiful blue waters. We drive the pass every day back and forth. And to see those dancing diamonds and to see the beautiful blue waters, the white sands, even when you see the storm, you see the glory of God. God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere upon the platform of nothing and spoke this world into existence. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. We see glory in Jesus, Ephesians 3, verse 21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1, 3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God. Who is that? Who is that he? It is Jesus. We see the glory of God in his works. Psalm 111, verses 3, the full splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. We see God's glory in his manifestations in our life, in healing, provision, and in salvation. We are to welcome his glory, to desire his glory, and we are called to give him glory. Let me remind you, Jesus is for his church. And anything in competition with his church, anyone in competition with God, here's what I want you to know. You lose. You lose. You can't compete. Let me talk to you for just a little bit about his church and about giving glory to God and how we give glory. We understand we welcome his glory. We desire the weightiness of his presence, the glory of God, the brilliance, the Shekinah glory of God. I want you to see this concerning us, the church, and how we give glory to God. First of all, I want you to note this. I want you to see that almost all the references in the New Testament have to do with the local church. Now, I understand, again, there's a universal church, there's the church at large, and I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters literally around the world. But let me show you what the norm was in New Testament living. And we pattern our lives after the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus has said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to send one like myself who's going to come. He said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be a witness to me here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the whole world. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell. There was question about what was happening. Peter got up and preached, and 3,000 people got saved that day, and the New Testament church that we are part of was birthed. And from that point on, here's what you find. You find that people would hear the gospel, they would receive Jesus as their Savior, they would be baptized, and they became a part of a local congregation. That's the whole New Testament. I mean, there's the church at Rome. Look at all the letters. Look at your Bible. Read. It's the church at Rome, the church at Galatia, the church at Philippi. We see the church is spoken to in Revelation. Colossus. Ephesus. These letters to the church. There are people who say, well, you know, I don't I just go to a lot of churches. Well, let me just say something. You're not doing a benefit to your life or to any one of those lot of churches you go to. There's something about being a part of a body. People say, well, I don't need church. I'm a part of the invisible church. Listen, if you're not a part of a local church, I'm not totally convinced you're a part of the invisible church. Because church was such a vital part in the whole plan of what God was doing. Think about this. Today, you know, we debate, well, is it really important? The average American goes to church, that attends church, goes to church 2 times a month, so only goes to church half the time. And we debate whether we really need to be there because we have virtual church. When today there are people in North Korea, I have stood, been in a boat as close from here to the sound booth to see the North Koreans there. I have met Christians from North Korea in China, and there are North Koreans that are meeting together. They love Jesus. They risk their life to meet with others in what's known as an underground church. And yet we're going to debate whether we really need to go to church or not. They risk their life week in and week out because they want to be together with other believers. Come on, someone. The church in China risks week in and week out. The church in Iraq, Pastor Jules, they risk their life every week to meet together. The church in Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan risk their lives. But they know they need to be with other believers. So when we talk about the church, it's not that we are trying to get numbers. God's blessed us with a ton of folks. Thank God for that. We're growing. And I know this. I know a crowd doesn't constitute a church. A crowd can constitute a riot, but it doesn't always constitute a church. A crowd crucified Jesus. So I get the whole thing. It's not about numbers, but it is about souls. Someone say amen. And it is about being a part of God's plan. The local church, that authentic community of believers that link themselves together for this purpose. We do it to glorify God. Amen. Amen. How do we do that? In your sermon notes, you'll see 10, 11, 12, 13 things. Our time's gone. Our musicians are coming. How do we glorify God? How do we glorify him? We glorify him by giving our life to Christ. Amen. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you give your life, you want to start giving glory to God? When you give your life to Christ, you glorify God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Here's how to give glory to God. You want to know how to give glory to God? Write it down. Be intentional. Be intentional. That whole passage, it's in your notes, and I didn't take time to read it for time's sake, but 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 through 33, he goes through all this about the dietary laws and what you can eat and all these things, and how you can how you try to reach across the barriers and what to do, what not to do. And when he gets down to the end, he just said, listen, whatever you do and eat or drink, whatever you do. He said, now, if somebody tells you it's been off the diet, you shouldn't eat it because you know it and they know it. But if they don't say anything you don't know, go ahead and partake so that whatever you do, you are going to do all for the glory of God. So listen, whatever we do, that means it's athletics, young people, or academics, whether we're fishing or hunting, whether our hobbies, boats, golfing, surfing, cars, trucks, football, basketball, baseball, golf, whatever we do in our work, whether we're a trash collector or we're a doctor, whatever we do all to the glory of God. Amen? Sacrificing self, yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name we give glory. Not to us. We sacrifice self and we give glory to God. Amen. Confess your sins is how you can give glory to God. When Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the God of Israel and give praise to him and tell us what you have done and not hide it. Remember when Achan hid part of the treasure? And the commandment from Joshua is, listen, confess and give glory to God. Trust and give glory to God. Listen, by this, the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. When you're a witness, you're giving glory to God. Being thankful, you're giving glory to God. When you endure suffering, none of us really endure suffering as far as persecution, but maybe one day we might be in that position to where our lives are on the line. And when we put our life on the line for the cause of Christ, we give glory to God. When you pray the will of God, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. When you pray the will of God, you give glory to God. When you proclaim God's word, you're giving glory. When you lead others to Christ, when you seek unity, you give glory. And when you praise and worship, you are giving glory to God. 13 ways that we can practically today give glory to God. Somebody say amen. Because it's all about his glory and us giving glory. Why do we exist as a church? To give glory to God. To give glory to God. To him be glory to God in the church.